verse number 5. This is part number 3 in a series we started a while back on divine order. Hallelujah. I got the title of this message from Colossians 2 and 5, where the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Colossae and says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Hallelujah. Two times ago, we talked about how God got a hold of us, as he did in creation, and he began to put us in order. Now, it doesn't really matter what you believe about creation or so. The bottom line is we're all in agreement about one thing, Linda. There is an order to this thing. The whole universe, our lives, our bodies, everything is in order. We spoke in the first segment of this about God putting things in order. And then 2 weeks ago, we spoke about how God, once he got in order, began to bring forth fruits. See, we're the same way. We were like the world, Sister Sharon. We were without shape. We were void. We're all mixed up. And God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through his power working, changed us. He began to separate the good from the bad and set us in order. Turn to your neighbor and say, order. Hallelujah. And God is such a God of order, he had to wait until the world was all separated before he could bring forth fruits. He does the same thing with Christians. He separates the good from the bad. He separates the light from the dark. And when we get to a certain place, brother, he says, now it's time to bring forth fruit. We talked about the seed that God put in the ground back in the book of Genesis. Everything reproduces after its own kind, the law of the seed. And we said that we as Christians, we as believers are impregnated, if you will, with the seed of God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to use that to get to the next part to say that Christianity is not just some philosophy. There's a song on the Christian station these days that says, it needs to be more like falling in love than something to believe in. It's not a matter of just believing in something. You can believe that's a chair, but you know what? When you're sick, that chair won't do much to maybe let you sit in it. You can believe whatever you want to believe about Christ. It's not going to help you until you fall in love with him. And when you fall in love with him and the work he's doing in you, he's going to cause some things in you. The whole idea of being a fruitful Christian is not something you have to do. It's got to be something you're prepared to let happen to you. Can anyone say amen? See, we're all going through things here, and the bottom line is here, Brother Pear, I just can't be all God wants me to be. Now, the U.S. Army's got that thing, be all you want to be all you can be. I can't do any of the things that God wants me to do or be without him. Amen? God has got to separate the light from the dark of my life. He's got to take what's shapeless and void and fix it and then put his seed in me, and then the fruit will come forth. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 is where I want to start this part 3 on. We kind of left off here 2 weeks ago. We're going to pick up from it. The apostle says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." If you're reading King James, the word there is meet. It means qualified. It made you fit. It made you qualified. My eyes need to go to the bigger Bible. Here we go. Hallelujah. You think I wear these glasses because they make me look good? Well, they do, but that's not the reason I wear them. Hallelujah. "Which made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." I'll stop there and rest. Hallelujah. This whole process of being our lives being brought into divine order started the moment we came to Jesus, the moment we said, "I want you in my life, forgive me of my sins," the moment you got born again. The same thing happened to you that happened in Genesis chapter 1. The power of God began to work in your life and began to separate all the dark from the light. See, that's what happened in the creation. It said the dark light was mixed up and the two went two separate ways. We ended up with the daytime, we ended up with the nighttime. It said that the earth and the water was all mixed up, and then he separated the two. See, one thing I think we need to do in order to really, really, really appreciate what God's done is to realize what he has done in us. Realize where we came from. We were not just all good people. God said, I think I like you, so here's my seal of approval. We were a mess. Some of us worse than others. Hallelujah. We were like the world. We were all mixed up and messed up. God had to set order in our lives. Hallelujah to God. We, in our natural state, we in our pre-Christian state, were not qualified. We were not fit to receive the things of God. Now, when I start talking like that, it just upsets people so bad. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. I wasn't that bad. Oh, yes, you were. Hallelujah. The day we can accept the fact that we were a mess, we needed to be saved, we needed to be redeemed, we needed some change in our lives. So many times we look around and say, well, I was a pretty good person. The Word of God is quite specific. It says that man's heart is desperately wicked. No one can know it. Hallelujah. I don't think I've ever met a person, maybe there's some out there, I just haven't run into them yet, who really don't want God's blessings. They don't all call it that. But if you'll watch people in your lives, they look at you, they see what God is doing, and they want it. People want relationships with their husbands and wives like you have with your husband and wife. People want peace in their family like we're experiencing with peace in our families. People want the things in our life that we know to be the hand of God, the blessings of God. I've had people, bosses, who wanted a whole bunch of people like me, not because I was such a great guy, but because they seen the attributes that God had instilled in my life. And yet that same boss didn't want to know nothing about Jesus. And he just never did understand. I hope he did before he died, but he didn't understand while I knew him, that the reason I had some desirable attributes is because that Jesus had taken my life and began to set it in divine order. So many times people look around and say, I want that. But according to what I just read to you, there was a time when we didn't qualify for it. Giving thanks to the Father, which made us qualified, fit, or meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know what your inheritance is? Be successful. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. God wants you to be successful in your family. Your inheritance is to have a peace that surpasses human understanding, that when the whole world is falling apart or seems to be, we can have some form of peace. Amen. We can have a sense of self-worth. We can love one another. We can be afraid not to be, where do I want to put that? We can don't have to be afraid to be loved. Hallelujah. People look at that in us, and God help us the day we start saying, well, that's because I'm such a good person. It's because of Jesus that the truth of the gospel has changed us and began to set us in order. Hallelujah. The most important thing I want to say to you today, or one of them, is that God looked at you, said, I want to bless them, but they can't take it. They don't qualify. I want to give them the best, but they can't receive it right now because they're all messed up. Now, when I talk, I'm looking at your face and going, how dare he say I was all messed up? Because you were all messed up, just like I was. Hallelujah. God took us from a sinful state, erased our sins, saved us, sanctified us, filled us with the Holy Ghost, said, I want to bless Sharon. I want to bless Charlotte. I want to bless Pat. I want to bless them. And in order for me to bless them, I got to get rid of this stuff. Hallelujah. God forbid that we look at each other, ourselves and say, you can't be talking about me. The Word of God is very specific. It said, all have sinned. Can someone say all? All have sinned. Well, you know, no, it's just the Pentecostals, or it's just the Catholics, or it's just the unsaved, or it's just the this. No, all have sinned. I don't have to teach that Greek lesson to you. You know what all means. It simply means all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some people today don't know what the word sin means. They did a study a while back, not so much a study, they questioned some folks. It was on a campus of a Christian college. And they asked him, what's sin? Some of the answers, Brother Parrott, were amazing. One person said, it's not saying the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, I'm not laughing at that person. You ask the average person, they don't know what sin is. I'm going to tell you what sin is. It's not doing it God's way. It's really a very simple thing. It's not doing things the way God wants them done. See, the problem is, we were born in sin. And for those who want to blame Adam and Eve, I'll get to that in just a minute. We were born in sin, and we choose to stay that way. Amen? See, the Bible tells me that Adam and Eve were created sinless. They were not created in sin. They came from the mind of God, the heart of God, the breath of God. God did it all. But here's where they ran into problem. Had nothing to do with fruit. I know they ate a fruit. Everybody says, you ate the apple. Show me the word apple in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Anyway, just one of them little things. But they ate the fruit. But here's the problem. Brother, before they ate the fruit, they decided to take the advice of someone besides God, and based on the advice of someone besides God, that was the snake, by the way, they decided that God's way really wasn't the only way. See, we do the same thing today. I want to caution you today to be careful what you read, what you watch on TV, what you decide to let into your life. Because if you're using their so-called facts to make a decision that goes against the Word of God, y'all going to be in the same place Adam and Eve was. You're going to be run out of the garden. Hallelujah. I see that so much today. People listening to this philosopher, listen to that philosopher, the philosopher, it may be Larry King, the philosopher, I don't know who it may be. It could be Little Wayne, whoever the philosopher you're listening to, and you're using that philosophy to make your decisions about living your life, beware. You will become disqualified to receive the things of God. Now, let me talk to Christians for a second here. You may tell me you love the Lord. You may have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, but if you're taking these alternate philosophies and mixing it with the Word of God to come up with how you're going to run your life, you're in trouble. You hear that silence? Hallelujah. Now, y'all don't have to believe me. You can just keep on going to destruction if you wish. The Word of God said there was a time when you weren't fit to receive the blessings of God, but God made us fit. God made us fit. We need, here's the definition of sin, doing things other than God's way. God has a way he wants things done. By the way, a word of wisdom was given by an 18-year-old boy long, long time ago. He said, George, there's no right way to do a wrong thing. I want you to think about that, and I want you to live by that. There is no right way to do a wrong thing. I have sat in counseling chambers with people who were in the midst of affairs. I said, but it feels so good. And I couldn't help but quote that 18-year-old boy. I said, but there's no right way to do a wrong thing, no matter how it makes you feel. There's right and there's wrong. Now, I got to throw this in here for all those who were listening before, those who are visiting today. My generation and generation, all generations before that, have a definition of truth. Truth is to be discovered. Truth always is. Truth never changes. There's a new philosophy out there that a lot of young people, baby boomers on down, meaning that's what I mean by young people, have embraced. So truth must be created. Please, 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 please. The prophet of old said, seek ye the old paths, for the old ways they are best. Hallelujah. You cannot recreate truth. The truth of the matter is, because we are taking other courses other than what God has prescribed, we are disqualifying ourselves from the blessings of God. Hallelujah. Verse 13, Paul describes why he's thanking God for this intervention. Talking about the Father said, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his own dear son. Now, let me talk to you about deliverance. Lots of forms of deliverance. I'm not going to get into the whole thing. I think a lot of people who are involved in deliverance need deliverance. Hallelujah. But the Word of God said we were delivered from a power. Anybody tell me what a power is? It's a power that's something that can control you. A power makes you make decisions. There's something in it that's directing you. Paul said you were under a power. He called it darkness. Hallelujah. You need to understand something about sin. You need to understand something about a sinful life. Once you decide to obey that temptation, it has a certain power over you. See, you have people say, "Got no power over me." Oh, yes, it does. See, we can deny it all we want. Do you ever watch people who get involved in a sinful lifestyle? They keep regressing. It goes from one step to a lower step to a lower step. It becomes very abasing, very, very low. Most people that you would judge, and I won't judge, but you, who, someone in your mind, that you think's way down there someplace, didn't start way down there. They started up here. But they took the philosophy of this world, they made a decision, was really okay to do, fill in the blanks. And once they did that, then they found it easier to do the next thing, Brother Dave. Then the next thing became even easier. See, you got to watch my hand. You can't see this on the internet here, but my hand's going down all as I'm saying this. Because every time we decide to go against the ways and wills of God, our quality of life, our worth begins to go down. So I pick that word carefully. Our worth goes down. We're always worth something in God. But our worth in society, our worth to ourselves, our worth to our families, our worth to our employers, hallelujah, begins to go down. We look at people on the street. We look at people who've given up. We look at people living a life of degradation. Say, oh, how terrible it is. Please understand me. They did not start on the bottom. We all started off in the same level. Hallelujah. But because sin has a power, sin will get a hold of us and draw us down to its level. The bottom rung of the level of the ladder is where sin lives. And every time we decide to do something wrong, now please don't answer this. This is not a trap. I don't mean to be funny. But have you ever noticed? When you lie the first time as a Christian, it's hard. It goes, you can't hardly get it out of your mouth. But if you get away with it, the second time you lie is a little easier. The third is easier yet. After a few weeks or months of it, you don't even know you're lying anymore. See, sin becomes more of your nature. It becomes more of what you do. It becomes acceptable. But the Word of God says that that's what kept you from being blessed by God. It said the Father delivered us to deliver something. I got a magazine laying here. To deliver this, I have to pick it up from here, take it over here, and deliver it. God comes along, picks us up, shakes us off a little bit because we're living in dirt and we're living in sin, and delivers us into a new kingdom, the kingdom of his Son. As the man says, you may have done the things they say you have done, but you're not what they say you are. I was a liar, but God delivered me from the power of darkness. I was a thief, but God delivered me from the power of darkness. I was a drug addict, but God delivered me from the power of darkness and just didn't deliver me. He put me in a new place. He put me in a place where God can bless me. Hallelujah. I really believe sometimes when I look at Christians, all of us, and we can't seem to worship, or we won't. I don't know which it is. I feel sorry for our worship team. I really believe. I've seen it, Brother Dave, and you've probably seen it in my face a few times too. You guys stand up there. You got your guitar. And you're all ready to go, and there's a whole bunch of going, I dare you. Make me worship. It's like looking at a room full. No, I better not say it that way. Y'all really get mad at me. But there's an enemy looking back at you, saying, no, I'm going to worship. I'm not fully healed yet. Why should I worship? I got this problem. Why should I worship? I'm not what I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. We need to take a moment. This is why I'm taking the time today to do this. To realize where it is God brought us out of. We are so concerned about where we're going to, some of us have forgotten where we came from. Hallelujah to God. I've been saved so long, Sister Charlotte. Long time. I've probably been saved longer than you've been around. Long time. But the danger of it is sometimes I forget what I was 35 and 40 years ago.
I talk about drug addiction, it's almost like it was somebody else. No, it was me. And I can easily forget that it was God who reached into my addiction, got a hold of my heart that was hurting, got a hold of my spirit that was wounded, and said, I'm going to heal you. And when he healed me, the drugs left. Hallelujah. But he could only intervene in a person's life who was all mixed up and all messed up. When God looked at the earth, it was without form. It was void. And he said, let there be. He spoke order. 30 some odd years ago, God looked at me. I was without form. I was void. The dark and the light was all mixed up. They couldn't separate the land from the water. I was a mess. And God said, let there be. And begin to speak divine order. In that instant, for your life, whenever it was, for my life then, God qualified me to receive the inheritance of the saints. Glory unto God. Now let me tell you something a little further here. Like the preacher says unto you, let me go a little deeper. God did not look at me and say, George, you cannot smoke that stuff anymore. You got to understand something. If you don't know me well or at all, if you tell me I can't do something, you could have a problem on your hands. God knows that about me. Hallelujah. My mama, if you can ask my daddy died, but my mama, if you ask my mama about me, you don't tell that boy what to do. Every time my mama told me what to do, I did just the opposite. You're laughing because I think, yeah, okay. You can identify, huh? Hallelujah. God knows that about, he did not say, George, you can no longer smoke dope. Boy, yeah, watch me. Hallelujah. But what God did do, he delivered me from the pain and personal agony that caused me to seek escapism. I found a lot of pleasure in a plastic bag for a lot of years. But for 30 plus years, I have found wonderful joy without the use of a plastic bag or any other substance. Because God delivered me, brother. He didn't stick a cork in it. He simply said, you're delivered. You don't have to do that anymore. Hallelujah to God. And the power of the sin was broken. Now, I'm going to tell you, Brother Parr and I were talking. I said this for the sake of your son yesterday. His son's a good boy. I was just talking. You may look at your neighbor, because most of us won't look at ourselves, and say, well, if they're free, why are they still doing yucky, 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 yucky? Well, I could come back and say, well, why are you talking about them? But I won't. Which sin is worse, gossip or what they're doing? Anyway, so I didn't say that. delete that. hallelujah. People say, well, if I'm set free, yeah, we can all quote the Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, all things have passed away, behold, all things are new. Then we look at ourselves, then why am I still struggling with A, B, C, or whatever it may be? See, some of the stuff God delivered me from instantly, he delivered me from the power of it, but I hung on to some things. It was called habit. And the story goes something like this. It's a true story of a pet bear. Well, I don't know how pet you can make a bear, but it was a bear. It was in captivity. It was in a 50-foot by 50-foot cage. And for all of its life, it would walk 50 foot in one direction, go to the bars and stop. Turn around, walk 50 foot in the other direction, go to the bars and stop. No matter where that bear went, it could only go 50 feet. Spent its whole life walking 50 feet and stopping. Well, some good do-gooders decided they wanted to set the bear free. They should have asked the bear probably, but they wanted to set the bear free. So the first thing they did was tranquilize it, put it to sleep, and they took it out in the woods, put it in the middle of the thing just came from a cage, but they put it in the middle of the woods, and they backed up with their binoculars, and they watched the bear. Bear woke up, shook it off, free last. Got up, walked 50 foot in one direction and stopped. Turned around, walked 50 foot in the other direction and stopped, and just kept doing that. The bars were gone. Habit was still there. You and I have been set free. The bars are gone. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, you do not have to smoke. You do not have to drink. You do not have to watch pornography. You do not have to do those things. You may have a habit you got to deal with, but you have been delivered from that life and translated from what you used to be to what you really are, a child of the King. Now, let me give you another piece of wisdom I learned from Bible college student, a teacher. He says, you are what God called you the minute he calls you it. I want you to think about that. That's not a play on words. You are what God called you the minute he calls you it. God calls me beloved. I am beloved. Though there are times which some of you have found out I'm not always lovable. I am a saint according to biblical standards, not church standards. I am a saint not when I'm dying canonized. I'm a saint because God called me one, and he called me at 33 years ago. I have been translated. I no longer live in this world. Now, let me unconfuse you with that statement. That's not a flashback from my years of drugs, okay? I'm here, and I'm walking, but I can't lift my foot up like the last time I did this. Those feet were not created to walk on sidewalks in Holmesdale, Pennsylvania. These feet were created to walk on streets of solid gold. Hallelujah. I have been translated. I am no longer a citizen of Holmesdale. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. See, let me tell you a little bit I've learned traveling with Brother Charlie and my wife. Brother Perry, you travel a lot. One thing we have all learned, wherever you go, you follow the laws of where you are. Hallelujah. We went to Macedonia, and we had to go to the police station and let them know we were there. Yeah, I won't get into this whole thing about aliens, but I'm going to tell you, I was an alien in that country. I had to, literally, I was an alien, okay? I was legal, but I had to go to the police station and turn myself in and let them know when I was leaving. Amen? Now, that's because I was in another country. I had to follow their rules. I'm living in this world. I will follow the laws of this world. But this is not my home country. Just the same when I was in Macedonia, brother, we left and we came back. I'm going to leave this country, and I'm going home, brother. I'm going to the place where God has redeemed me from darkness, translated me into that I can now live in the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, you may say, why are you talking all this? Because when I think about this, now hopefully after the afternoon you think about it, I get excited. Boy, I tell you, I don't see no excitement right now. I get excited to know that I'm not going to live here forever. There's a better world for me. There's a world without pain, whether you get healed or not. There's a world without medicine. There's a world without taxes. You have to worry about health care. You don't have to worry about... I had to quit watching the news. It was driving me crazy. When I get to heaven, I don't have to choose between Fox and CNN. I don't care. Hallelujah. And I won't have to worry about how to get rid of my heartaches because they'll be gone. And I won't have to worry about how to dry my tears because they'll be gone. I won't have to worry about the aches and pains. They'll be gone. I'm going to a much better place, but first I had to be qualified to go to that place. Hallelujah. Believing in Jesus, help me say this right, Lord, is not enough. Like the song says, it's got to be more like falling in love than something to believe in. You can believe in any philosophy. The closest I ever got to getting myself in big trouble in a prison, I was visiting, by the way, but I was preaching in a prison. I'm saying that for the visitors. I remember being in prison, and I was preaching, and there's a lot of religion in those places. And I remember saying, and it almost caused a riot, Brother Powell. I don't think you were with me. This is closer after. Anyway, I said, it doesn't matter what God you believe in. Ooh, I tell you, you better have your punchline really say it real quick. Because you could just feel the tension. I said, until you need him. See, you can believe in any God. You go ahead and name him. I won't do it on the tape here, but any God, any world religion, it doesn't matter what you believe in until you need his help. See, because only Jesus Christ can break the curses generation after generation after generation from Adam and Eve all the way to you. Only Jesus can deliver you from the power of darkness. Only Jesus can translate you into the kingdom of his dear son, of himself, into this kingdom of light. I'm not talking about something to believe in. I'm talking about a transformation. For all of you folks who have been doing this a while, you kind of know what I'm talking about. But I'm talking to people today who don't really understand this. Coming to church on a Sunday morning does not qualify you for eternity with God. It help, but it won't qualify you. Giving in the offering will not qualify you. Standing up and preaching will not qualify you. What qualifies you is a total surrender to the will and want and plan of God. And most of us spend a lot of time trying to figure out what that is. So there's room for error. There's some wiggle room. God understands that. It's called grace. We should have as much grace towards others as he has towards us. Hallelujah. But to stand there or to sit there and say, all I got to do is add Jesus onto what I'm already doing. Not. That does not work. It does not work. People say, I believe in Jesus. Then why aren't you being changed? Think about it. We need to hold these areas. Sister Laura had a word for the church last week. I don't know if y'all heard it. Said there's wood, hay, and stubble in here that needs to be burned away. Now, I'm not here to pick on you because she was talking to me as much as she was to you. But we need to look at ourselves and understand the only thing that can change me from the thing I hate the most, which is me, and the way I act, is a relationship with God, his son. Cooperation with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Delivered us from the power of darkness. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Anybody here a fan of the History Channel? What's the name of it called? Porn Stars? Or not porn. Pawn Stars. P-A-W-N. Pawns. So you know what a pawn shop is? Okay. Hawk shop. Now, there's two things. You see this on TV. We'd understand that. Younger folks may not. That's why I referenced the thing on television. You go to a pawn shop, and you can either sell something or you can drop it off. Let's say this is a Kmart watch, but let's say it was a Rolex. It's not. it's a $9.99. I can show you the green spots on my wrist to prove it. I got to scrub my wrist every day to get the green off. But let's just say it's worth, you know, several thousands of dollars. I could take it to a pawn shop, and I could put it on the counter, and they would loan me maybe $2,000 or $3,000. It's theirs until I come back. But when I come back, I have to pay the money back that they gave me plus. So they may give me $2,000, may cost me $2,500 to get my watch back. It's called redeeming. Redemption. Someone gives you a gift certificate. It doesn't, you know, they give you the little plastic cards. They're really cute, but they're worthless. Until you take them to the store and redeem them. We, because of sin, because of the sin of Adam, Eve, and every generation up to you, have lived in sin. We are under the authority and power of darkness. We need to be redeemed. We need to be like that watch. We got to be bought back. Amen? Now, I'm going to say something here that could probably really rattle your cage. We need to be set free. We need to be redeemed back because we have come into agreement with the powers of darkness. Jesus, now let me tell you, Jesus says some pretty infuriating things. He looked at the people, the religious folk. Did you ever notice that Jesus didn't have a whole bunch of tolerance for church folk? He looked at them, says, you are of your father, the devil. And then added insult to the injury, says, and the things of your father you want to do. Now you can just see the crowd going, oh, Master, you're right. Just help us with this. No. They became indignant. Three words. They became indignant. How dare you tell me I am like my father, the devil, and I want to do the things of the devil? I want you to stop and think about that for a moment. Jesus, again, infuriating that he was, said, if you're not with me, you're against me. Did you ever notice, Brother Dave, this is just, he left no wiggle room. You either are or you're not. I don't mean to sound rude, but it's like being pregnant. You can't be a little bit pregnant. You either pregnant or you're not. Jesus said, you're either with me or you're not. And if you're not with him, guess who you're with? There's only one other guy. Hallelujah. But here was the thing. He spoke to the character of man, mankind. He said, the things of your father. He already told him who the father was. They were ticked about that. You know, if you come in here on Sundays, I look at you, you're the devil, you're the devil, you're the devil. Y'all going to get out of here real quick. Even if I'm right, you're going to get out of here real quick. Especially if you're right, he said. Hallelujah. But at first he told him, you are just like your father, and you want to do wrong. And people say, that's terrible. I want you to think about that this week. How many times, don't raise your hand, I'm doing my best not to make eye contact, I'm looking at the rug. How many times do we make decisions to do things? Hallelujah. How do I want to say this? How many times have we decided to do wrong? And how many times did we do wrong when we didn't want to? Sometimes we get caught up in things, we do things wrong, we really didn't want to do wrong. Most of the time, we do things because we want to do them. Most of the time, we lie because the truth is too inconvenient. I'm not talking about global warming. You will not find me speaking about, anyway. Hallelujah. Did you know that global warming is causing the volcanoes to erupt? Oh. Yeah, I can tell you one about the three little pigs, too, but that doesn't make it real. Hallelujah. I hope Mr. Gore is listening to this tape today. Chances are he's not. Hallelujah. We do things because we want to. Now, let me back up and try to put this all together. Okay? Hallelujah. We come to Jesus. We come to God because of our chosen lifestyle of sin. And people say, well, I didn't choose to sin. Yeah, come on. You may not choose. You didn't start this thing, but you've agreed to keep finishing it. Okay? People say, if it wasn't for Adam and Eve, it would be the next two. Come on. Yeah. We do the same thing they did. We take the advice other than God's. So, well, the devil don't talk to me. Don't be so sure of that. Eve didn't think she was talking to the devil either. Now, I don't know about you, brother. I don't like any snake, but if one talks to me, you better be going to book twice as fast. That should have been the first giveaway. Okay, here come the snake talking and being all snake-like and say, hey. He gave her some advice. Now, he didn't tell her what to do, but he took the advice of the snake and weighed it against the word of God and made a choice that God really didn't know what he was talking about in this place. They did it. Every generation did it. And we do the same thing. See, we're just like the people Jesus spoke to. We do the things of the powers of darkness because we choose to. But Jesus come along, spread his arms wide on the cross, bled every drop of blood he had, so we no longer have to be under that authority. You no longer have to. If you're under the blood of Jesus, you no longer have to smoke, drink, chew, run around, do all the... You don't have to. You might, but you don't have to. Hallelujah. The price has been paid. We were in the pawn shop, so to speak. We were under the devil's authority, but we were redeemed. Not for $50, not for $100, not for $1,000. The cost of our redemption was every drop of blood and that divinely human man by the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to own this today. Jesus didn't die just for you, brother. He did, but I want you to forget about Jesus dying for him. He died for you. So we got to own this thing. When we make a generalized statement, oh, well, Jesus died for all the sins of all the world. Yeah, let's back that up a little bit. Jesus died for me, for my nastiness, for my ugliness, for my attitude, for my lying, cheating, drug addiction. God died for me, gave his blood for me. Because, now I got to tell you, when this finally sets in, if you don't come in here next week praising and shouting, there's something wrong. Either I did it wrong or you're not listening. And if you're not listening, go to the internet and listen again. Hallelujah. We have been set free. It's all part of divine order. God is setting the world in order. God is setting our world in order. He has delivered us from being void and without form. He's delivered us from being all mixed up. He delivered us from the advice and philosophy of the snake, the devil. He's translated us into the kingdom of his own dear son by his blood. We've been bought back. Our lives are on the pathways to divine order. Hallelujah. And guess what? Anything that doesn't fit God's plan, you can tell. You feel it. Some people call it a conscience. I'm not so sure that conscience works these days, because I think a lot of people's consciences have been seared with a hot iron. But it's called conviction of God. God has given us the power. God has given us he's made us qualified to receive his best. Hallelujah. In closing, just let me ask a question here. How many of you really, truly, every morning of your life or some mornings, like, whew, thank God I'm a failure? No, we don't do that. We don't. In our worst times, we don't do that. We want to be successful. And as long as your want for success lines up with God's want for success, chances are you can be successful. Because God wills it, God wants it, and God has set things in divine order that you can be successful. Can we just close our eyes and raise our heads for a minute, or raise our hands for a moment here? Hallelujah. 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 You know, sometimes being a Christian can be a little confusing. Things are happening, I don't get it. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? All I know, I've chosen to believe the Word of God, that this book, 753,000 words of it, is addressed to me. Now, if y'all want to read my mail, you can. But it's addressed to me. You see, y'all need to own this stuff just like I'm owning it now. I own this Word. I own the finished work of Calvary. It's mine. I own the deliverance from darkness. It was for me. I'm owning this thing. I'm glad that you all got set free, but I'm real glad I got set free. This is mine. This is mine. Hallelujah. You, everyone, put your name there. You have been delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ by the blood of the Lamb of God as he hung on Calvary. Oh, glory unto God. I hear people say they don't like going back into the Old Testament and stuff. I would challenge you to go back into the Old Testament and read about the sacrifices. One sacrifice in particular, when once a year they came, they brought a lamb with them. Hallelujah. And all the family, brother, they laid their hands on that lamb. And they confessed their sins over the lamb. And they handed the lamb over to the priest. The priest took a long, sharp knife, cut the throat of that lamb, and took every drop of blood that lamb had. It was called the atonement. And because of that blood of that lamb, that family was safe for another year. But see, God said that's just a shadow. That's a foresight, because there's coming another lamb. And we're going to put him up on a hill. And we're going to be sure that every drop of blood is drawn out of that lamb. And that blood will buy you back from your sin, from the powers of darkness, and translate you into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You've been translated. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. Your word is so specific. It is so clear. You have made us fit. You have qualified us to receive the inheritance of the saints of light. You have delivered us from the powers of darkness and the powers of the evil one. You've delivered us. You've translated us into the kingdom of your Son, and we have been set free through the blood, and our sins have been forgiven. Father, we thank you today.
Lord, I pray for this people that during this week these words will resonate in their spirit. And they will understand, I will understand, we all will understand how we have been set free and we have now been qualified to receive the blessings of God. Just as you set the world in order, you set me in order. Just as when you prepared the world to bring forth fruit, you prepared me to bring forth fruit. You have destined me to be successful. You've destined me to be partakers of your kingdom. Father, I pray for a spirit of joy, a spirit of gratitude, thanksgiving, praise, and worship to overtake your people for this thing that you've done. Remind us of it daily. Help us to repeat it to our friends and family. Help us to live it and be reminded that Jesus came to give us life and that more abundantly. In the name of Jesus, go in peace. Be prosperous. Be successful. Enjoy the freedom that God has given you. Hallelujah. Rejoice in your deliverance. Tell everybody that you're free at last. Tell everybody, God set me free. Look at the Lord and say, Lord, I no longer want to do the things of the devil. I want to do the things of the kingdom. Because he's already redeemed you, paid the price, and made it possible. In Jesus' name, go in peace. Be prosperous. I prophesy health, wealth, and prosperity to all of God's people. Come back next week expecting. Come back next week filled with joy. Come back next week dancing and shouting for the things of God. Bring somebody with you. Bring someone back who's still bound up. God will set them free. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Fathers, we leave this place. We don't leave you. We leave the building. We bring the Spirit with us. Father, help us to live the life, being all that you've called us to be, every day, in all ways, in all times, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You are released.